Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, and good evening, Ashwini.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great. Ashwini, I have announcements here to kick us off.
Great.
If you're open to an old Sangha tradition launching a new 2024 beginning, join us for our virtual New Year's retreat, December 30th through January 1st. This powerful practice experience will include meditation, workshops, yoga, and guidance by lottery with Sherry. The retreat is by donation. Our Reflective Listening Buddies program offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program begins January 15th. Do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? The Keeping Commitments Buddy program, also beginning January 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support during this compassionate training. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Ashwini, please press star 6 and then 1 to make Ash show. And a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is great. Okay, I think we are ready here, Ashwini.
Great.
All right. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jodine in California.
Hey, Jodine.
Hi, Jodine.
Hey, I am calling with an update. So I think it was in October. I called in for guidance with how to handle criticism, like criticism from someone close to me, you know, not like your boss or whatever. And I had seen into it a bit, but I was struggling. And I've kind of, another dimension of it has shown up.
Okay.
And so, so let's see, you know, kind of content-wise, there's, you know, I'm in a relationship with somebody who, who's providing feedback to me, frequently that feels like criticism, and kind of that's the struggle. And after the guidance I got last time, I did kind of change the way I was looking at it somewhat. I was kind of more, like instead of being annoyed when it came up again, I would be like, oh, okay, I'm practicing with this, right? However, I did realize that there's one situation where it's kind of not so neutral. The criticism is not so neutral to me because I get the criticism of my driving when I'm driving. And unfortunately, we had a very close call. It would have been like a fender bender, but I was so distracted that I, and it would have been completely my fault, like I would have caused the accident. So, and also, we've involved a therapist who helped us kind of see through this stuff. And we decided that when I'm driving, there's going to be actually no conversation about my driving, and if that means there's no conversation, then there's going to be no conversation. Mm-hmm. And so we came to that kind of agreement, you know, with a helping therapist person there. And then after some time had gone by, it started again. So, mm-hmm. so even in the driving situation, here comes this feedback.
Okay. So Jordine, have you attempted to remind the person of the agreement?
Well, this is where this other dimension of it comes in. I might have said something like, hey, I thought we weren't going to have these conversations, or something about reminding. Yeah, trying to remind, you know, him that this is what we had agreed. But then again, that conversation is happening, you know, in a traffic situation. And I can't say that in terms of like a place where we were both able to concentrate fully on what's going on between us, we have not reviewed that situation.
Uh-huh.
However, because I was kind of committed to not, you know, not being reactive, like, you know, mm-hmm. the conditioning wants to just say, hey, you know, shut up or something, right? I mean, I got to the place where I realized one thing that might be going on is that he's making these comments from a place of complete unconsciousness. Like he doesn't mm-hmm. know that he's saying anything objectionable.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So there's a little bit of distance, right? You're not being reactive. You're just able to watch it and go, that person might be super identified or not aware of what they're saying or coming from a place of unconsciousness.
Yes, because previously it was all about, there he goes again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is... Mm-hmm. is a slight, you know, this, you know, I'm taking it really personally. I've asked mm-hmm. you to stop and you won't, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, that's the kind of the conversation in my head that, you know, doesn't mm-hmm. happen out loud.
Mm-hmm. And so have you checked that out? So for example, so there's an agreement, right? And then there's an expression of a difficulty, a mutual agreement that the conversation's not going to happen during the car, during the drive or whatever it is, but it tends to happen. I mean, it's starting to happen again. So do you have a sense? So your sense is that it's coming from a place of unconsciousness, which is the agreement is not in awareness for the other person. Is that what you project?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I kind of let that sit for a while. And then I also realized that another part of this might be an actual inability to recall mm-hmm. the agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, couple of things, right? So when the attention is not on the reaction, there's an expanded awareness that allows for other possibilities to drop in. The person may be unconscious. The person may not be able to remember, and it's an ability issue. Yeah. And so it's not from so now you're not identified, right? So now it's possible to have a perspective that's not an ego perspective from which you can actually address it. It's not a suffering perspective that is going to perpetuate feeling bad on anyone's part.
Yes, yes, because, you know, on that particular day, you know, the feedback was very similar to feedback that he said on other days, and there really wasn't any, there was no residue, there was no resentment, there was no, like, you know, all that. It was like, huh. It was more like I have become curious about, like, what exactly is going on for him.
Which is a very important communication strategy, right? It's all about facilitation, where it becomes all about the other person. You're completely available. It's got no, there's no ego participating there. There's just pure fascination with and presence with the other person's experience, presence to the other person's experience, and a willingness to engage and check it out. Because you could technically, once that you are disidentified, it could be possible to, I don't know this, you could say, hey, so not while you're driving, of course, but, you know, I'm just curious, are you aware that you were talking about my driving and we decided? I was just wondering, do you not remember? I mean, it could be a very lighthearted, informative checking out what you see.
Right. No, the whole, yeah, this looking at it this way has become, it's just a lot lighter. You know, there's just a big layer of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Not there.
Yeah. Wonderful. What a practice success, right? So here's something that you got guidance around, you practiced with it, the curiosity and fascination of just noticing what's going on for you around it has allowed you to disidentify from it, not to take it personally, and to even be curious about what's happening for the other person.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this, Jordine, in that shift in your relationship to the criticism, does it still feel dangerous to have that comment come at you while you're driving?
No, it hasn't gotten, it's no longer, it doesn't feel like danger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I feel okay. I feel safe. Everything's fine. It's just like, okay, here's more content and this process. And eventually I hope we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Uh-huh. Because again, it doesn't have to be a contest, right? So I don't know if it does feel, you're in a wonderful place with the whole thing and absolutely practicing with it, and your relationship to it is changing, and you're fascinated and curious and in a place of compassion and non-suffering, right? So
yeah.
The only reason I ask is because it doesn't have to be a contest. If it would be helpful for you not to be triggered. Let's just say you're fine with it right now, but something happens and you're hungry or tired and the criticism comes in and then, you know, there's an accident, right? It doesn't have to be a contest. So you could put up, you could make it something fun by putting up on your dashboard something that both of you can see that says, no criticisms while driving.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Because, again, it's like if you're not angry with this person and you're not irritated with this person and you're not personally identified and it's occurring to you that the person is possibly forgotten agreement, has no ability to recall an agreement, and it's a pattern for him that's unconscious, then it would help you and help him probably and be compassionate for everybody else on the road to support yourselves in remembering the agreement.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, well, it's been good so far, so I might as well play it out, right?
It's simply a suggestion. You can and you cannot, right? You could go on watching the process and see whether that fascination and curiosity is, it's not an either or. But that it's just simply an alternate suggestion. Because here you are, and it's what, the don't suffer, communicate part, right? So it drops in that that might be the issue. And from a non-threatened place, I don't know whether the person that you're having this interaction with would feel criticized or threatened if you ask those questions, right? It might lead to a completely different interaction that you don't want to have. But it's just that place of, yes, I'm practicing with it, and there are ways we can support ourselves in keeping our agreements and keeping our commitments so that it's in order to ensure everybody's safety.
Yes. Yeah, well, I definitely can see the conversation in non-stressful circumstances about, you know, let's look at this agreement again. And we have a great place to do things like that because we have a very skilled therapist, very helpful, keeping the space for us to discuss things that are charged.
And arbitration. I mean, to do it under with mediation,
right.
So it's not taken personally. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm chipping away.
Well, congratulations on that absolute transformation.
That piece was really transformative. So, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jordine.
Thanks for joining us, Jordine. And Ashwini, we're going to move to good news update.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And Jen, I'm turning it over to you for a good news update.
Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jan, who is here to speak with us about her experience of engaging in an annual fundraising process for the work in Africa. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you, Jan. So glad to be here. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so fun to have you. I think we talked a little bit last week with Jen about how for many, many years, especially the fall, tended to be our sort of bridge walk season. For some of those years, we had the great pleasure of gathering at the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge, which is how the bridge walk got its name. But we haven't done that necessarily every single year, and yet there are some stalwarts, and you being one of them, who have really found your own rhythm with that. And I've heard you say a number of really inspiring things about what that process has been like for you and people in your life who have come to participate in that year after year. So we thought it would be fun to hear a little bit about that from you during this Bridge Walk season.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's interesting because just being asked, you know, in practice, we get to see so, well, it's just been an opportunity for me to see more and more. And so when what moves me to do this every year, I've talked about this before, but 14 years ago, my family and I were privileged enough to go to Cantalumba and to meet the amazing people in the co-op, the children. So that was completely inspirational. And that's what started it for me of wanting to share, to share what I saw, how we could support them. And so I sent, it was actually with another Sangha member at that time, sent a letter out. And basically what happened, so there was this, I'm just always awed by the response from friends. I guess I send something like that out and I just assume, well, maybe nothing will come back. If it does, great. And there's this overwhelming response. So that just led to what I got to see in looking at this is that I do this out of love for the people in Cantalumba and being totally inspired by them. And how could I not? How could I not support, I mean, the little bit it takes to do, you know, what I do for all that they do. And then on the but what I got to see additionally is the friends, acquaintances that are giving, that it really is out of love for them, because if I don't contact them each year, they contact me.
That's one of the things that inspired me. I love that, Jan. I heard you say that recently, and that touches me so much. That sense of, oh, are you doing that lovely thing that you do every year? Them reaching out to you. Yeah.
Well, I can use an example. There was one friend who I got his email wrong. It was a typo, whatever it was, and it never came back. I never saw that happened. Mm-hmm. And he saw my husband at one point and said, why hasn't Jen gonna, isn't she gonna send me the letter, because we want to support the project? So anyway, what I've gotten to see is that it really is, I feel like a conduit. I'm just putting, I'm just
beautiful.
In between, between this need of these amazing people in Cantalumba, the children, the co-op, and these other people who have the generosity of their heart wanting to support it. So how can I not do it? And I say that because I run into resistance, terrific resistance inside me every year.
Yeah.
Not a surprise.
Yeah.
Not a surprise. But
I'm really glad you say that, actually. Because that's so important, right? Because I think a lot of us get stopped by that resistance, especially if we don't hear. So then we hear from someone like you on Good News, right? And you're obviously lit up. You know, you love this project, you want to invite people, you've had a lot of success with it. So it would be easy to walk away with the impression like, well, that's easy for Jan, right? But so I appreciate you adding that piece in, that no, I mean, the voices do their thing every single time. And so that's a piece of it. And I project that's a piece of what makes it part of your practice to participate in this way.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because I get to see it all. You just said it exactly how it is.
Yeah.
It's the same process every year. I get to know it more. I guess you could say I get to know it more intimately every year. And I've learned, I forget, we had something recently. I mean, here we are in the week of looking at willingness. And I thought, how perfect. Because that's what I have to call up. I have to call up that part of me that is, we can't name it, but that is willing through love and caring.
Yeah.
To do what needs to be done, like in anything in life. In this case, it happens to be for the project.
Well, and Jan, I'm just kind of getting goosebumps as you're talking about it, because it underscores so much. First of all, that word conduit, that's such a perfect description, I project, of what, when that invitation first came from life, through Sherry, hey, do you want to participate in Africa? And she said yes, right? Do we have a ton of resources? No. But do we have access to be a conduit to resources? Absolutely. And there's that expression of love that the whole project is. And it's such a perfect example of, I think, again, we talked about this last week, that what this project gets to serve for us is to mirror that love for ourselves and give us a tangible experience of, okay, up comes ego resistance in whatever area of our life that it comes up. And this is such a tangible example of, okay, good, fine. Let me turn my attention to the love that I have for the project, the love that I have for this community, the inspiration that I see here, what I know they're up against all the time. Talk about resistance, right, on all levels. So turning the attention to the love, and from that place out goes your letter. And then, as you say, that's how people are receiving it. They're receiving that love.
Yes, I hope so. I mean, I think that's what's going on. And it's interesting because I think I've mentioned this before, but what I look forward to every year is just sort of immersing myself in everything about the project. Going over and over the pictures, what's been written up. I contacted you, then these conversations with Teresa. And so that inspires me to be able to put out in a very, what it feels like from an authentic place, the caring and invitation to others to participate. So, and I have to say, I get tears. I have tears every time somebody donates, because I know, I don't expect people to. And I was in tears during most of the conversation with Teresa last two. Because it's tender was the word that came up in group this morning. And that's how it feels. Yeah,
truly. And, you know, that's so, that piece, Jan, that tenderness that you're pointing at is so my experience as well. And again, it's what I project, because I have very much the same experience. So when I send out an invitation like that to family and friends, it does come from a place of there's no expectation. I'm not even really, I can't remember how you described it when you were first talking tonight, but that sense of, oh, I know what it was. You said you went there. You went to Cantalumba, and you wanted to tell people about what you saw. So it wasn't even that you were asking for something. It's more that you're sharing this thing that's so important to you. You're sharing it with people that are important to you. And so I project something like that comes across as an invitation to participate, not as I'm asking you to give something, I'm expecting something. And so, of course, you're moved to tears when people want to participate in that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole process is just humbling, truly. Because, you know, as a conduit, it isn't personal.
It isn't personal.
And that's sort of critical. That was what I've seen to the whole thing. My responsibility, it feels like, is to keep ego out of the whole process.
And what a win-win, right? Because that is what we're training to do. We don't want ego to have a say in anything in our lives. So to have a place like this where we're really motivated to go beyond it, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, because the other thing I'll say about it quickly, Jan, is that it's a huge, support for the project. Because, you know, to support 1,000 kids in a nutrition program 365 days a year, that's a big financial commitment. And then the other pieces of that, everything that goes on around that. And so we need assistance outside the Sangha, you could say, you know, not just people who are doing retreats and workshops with us. And so we really rely on the efforts of people who are doing things like you're doing annually in order to allow us to have that commitment that we have to that community and to ourselves. And so it's really important. It's really, yeah. It's a very beautiful way that people's practice tangibly gives back to life, basically.
Yeah. Yes. And I have to say, I just want to, what was dropping in as you were saying that is all the beautiful ways that other Sangha members have reached out, you know, whether it's making something and offering that for sale, or there's just so many creative ways.
So many ways.
I feel like mine, once I sent the letter, I didn't have a choice that it was going to be the letter, because that's what people were expecting. And that's fine. That's fine.
It's exactly.
There's so many creative ways that people have approached it. Which
Last week we talked about the yoga classes, right? And the Halloween party. And it's endless. It's endless. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jan, for being with us today to talk about your experience of it. It's very fun and inspiring.
Yeah, well, thanks for the invitation, Jan.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jan. And welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, we have more callers here.
Oh, thank you, Michael. And I was just a note about that wonderful good news update. The love that we talked about on the call with Teresa was so evident in that conversation, and love in the form of attention, right? The willingness to be so tuned into something you care about, that you research it, that you tend it, that you nurture it, was so, so absolutely beautiful to hear.
Yes, I loved all that conversation. And I love how there's no expectation in sending out the letter and being a conduit It's just, it's not personal. I mean, the love and affection for the project, I think, comes through each of us when we talk about it. And, you know, it has its own magic in terms of, you know, attracting resources, I think.
Yes, it does. And if you're consistently doing it, if you've been doing it for 14 years with a circle of people that have been contributing to it, it's such a collective sense of ownership, within quotes, or investment in the project.
Wonderful. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Shwenny. It's Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hi. So I am also reporting back. I spoke with Sherry last week about... just getting distant from practice and asking for some help to get back on track. And, yeah, I just wanted to report in.
Wonderful.
So
amazing,
what I'm...
Right? Here you are, close to practice.
Yeah, here I am again. And I think, that's been my experience is, well, one, life is always welcoming us home. And in fact, it never leaves. So, and it can feel so difficult, but really it's just turning to and to your home. And then it feels like, at least in that moment, like everything you need is being provided to you. And the simplicity is in just following the prompts. So concretely, I had been getting several prompts to reach out to practice for help, and then I finally said yes. I called in, got to talk to Sherry. I told Sherry, you know, one of the challenges is I'll do something that gets me centered, but then as soon as that thing's done, I'm back up in the head. And she said, well, then go set up some things to bump up against. So you're doing that regularly, bumping up against supports to get you here. So I didn't. We talked about last week, thinking is not helpful. I did not think. I just said yes to that. So as soon as open air was done last week, I immediately got on email and wrote in for some concrete practice support. And I enlisted my partner in some accountability to sit every night. And I signed up for another support. And then I committed to what those lovely folks were talking about, listening to Teresa on Saturday. And it's just, it's like the Leonard Cohen, the less of me there was, the happier I am. It feels like the practice of that is just to practice being here, being here, not getting ahead, not planning something out way in the future, not wondering how this is going to go, just surrendering in a concrete way to what we're practicing. And I mean, it's so amazing that we have so many concrete ways. It's not an abstraction, which is one of my favorite things about this practice. And yeah, that life's always welcoming you home. All you have to do is say yes. And there's a lot of support to do that. So that's been the experience over the week.
Well, and that's such an important process you're laying out, right, Scott? Because the wandering away does happen. The wandering away from what is always here is the reason for the conversation. We forget. It gets silted over. And we grow less and less aware of what is here.
Right.
And if we're practitioners, and longtime practitioners at that, our training does kick in, right? Even through that wandering away, we get a sense of that divine dissatisfaction. This is off. It doesn't feel good. And then the more I pay attention to that, the louder that becomes, the more insistent that still small voice. It's cat calling for the attention. And when we say yes, it's a turning towards it. It's a sort of, okay, I'm being drawn back, I can hear it, and then I do an about turn. As soon as I'm face to face with it, I'm here, and then it just walks me home, right? Closer, closer and closer.
Exactly, and as Jen and Jan were just talking about, that doesn't mean there's not resistance, because there has been, the difference for me is, one, because I've set up those commitments to bump up against things in the sense that somebody's going to notice if I didn't show up. Sometimes mm-hmm. that's just enough to not, I can't listen to that because I made this commitment. And then, you know, it's so reinforcing when you turn then away from that resistance back to the commitment and you do it. Now I can feel the alignment. You know, there's the integrity, you know, in a weird way, the self-esteem kind of improves. And then I want to do more, you know, it's like practice begets practice. And also I noticed there's like enough disidentification doing that for a couple of days that when I hear, oh gosh, I don't have time for that, or no, I've got to get this other thing done, I'm actually pretty clear. That's not me. Sounds a lot like me, but it's not, because I do have time. And what else would I be doing if I'm not practicing being here? It's just confusing because it's that I voice and happening inside me, and it seems like me. But from that disidentified or even slightly disidentified, it's like, oh, that's ego. Ego doesn't want to lose control. And in that awareness, there's like further relaxing into, you know, what we are. And it's like, you know, it's a powerful process. And it's just to have the support to keep going. It's like, okay, I'm getting some traction. And that's what I wasn't able to do before, was get any traction with practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, what that reminds me about is what we talked about on the morning show, right? When we're in training, and part of training is to learn by watching our process what supports us to do what we set out to do, right? How do we set ourselves up for success? And you identified structure. I mean, or Sherry offered the guidance of having a structure that supports you to actualize what you choose, to support you to choose that. And so that's what the structure does, right? And you're absolutely right. Resistance does not go away. But what happens with the structure or accountability in the way we do so, we set those up in practice, is that you'll do for the love of others. Right. The part of you that's going to show up to the structure is what is the reason the structure works. And so what happens is we stop feeding resistance. And when we stop feeding resistance, there's a lot more expanded awareness and energy to recruit willingness rather than unwillingness.
Right.
And the more you recruit willingness, the more energy willingness has over unwillingness. Right. It's really simple. It's like muscle training.
Yeah. It's amazing, because the unwillingness and ego can be like really loud or like sharp noises, but you, in this process, you can see how much more powerful the life impulse is, you know, that there really is no strength in that ego voice, except for, you know, that we give attention to it. And then the last thing I wanted to say is, in that process you were just talking about, it's like, well, do for the love of others. It's almost like I get pulled into the boat long enough, then there's an awareness that I'm now in the love, which reminds me a lot of those calls with Teresa. And then you're like, then you want to be here because you want to be in love.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was always the case, but it's like, I don't need an extra thing. I just, it's just obvious that I want to be here. And then the heart opens, right? And then you practice begets practice. And then I find myself signing up to be a monthly donor again for the Africa Project. And just because, of course, that's what I'm going to do, not for any other reason, because of the love.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's an important point too, right, Scott? Because resistance is not love. I mean, again, we talked about it this morning on the morning call, that the what breaks through ego is love. And so as soon as you get in touch with the love, then love is love in action. That is the force of the universe, and you're completely aligned with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you choose. Yeah. That's what you choose to be in. Why would you want to be in alignment with anything else? Yeah.
Yeah. And just many thanks that practice is modeling that and giving us a concrete demonstration of that's how life is. Just ask for help, and life is happy to help. And that's what practice is doing for us every single day. Yeah.
Yes, and if we, you know, the extension is there is no love that's not you, and there's no life that's not practice, right? It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
it is a giant ball of unconditional willingness that we're tapping into.
Amen to that.
Thanks,
Ashwini.
Thanks for joining us, Scott. And Ashwini, we have another caller here.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie in Delaware.
Hey, Jamie.
I'm glad to be here. I'm doing Q practice tonight because I know if I didn't put myself in the queue, I would probably be sitting here criticizing myself for not doing it.
Or being criticized, so, right? Entertaining a conversation that is criticizing you.
Yeah. And I notice with the practice, I can, I'm aware of the effort and the desire to practice every day. And I think that shows benefits, and I feel committed to doing that. I'm also aware that there are things that I might do to strengthen my practice, but I want to see those. I think I should see those as opportunities, and again, not use them as a way to criticize myself.
Yes, and that's a very important insight, right? Just to have sufficient distance to recognize, so we do the practice, we see how beneficial it is, and we really have to be unconscious to want to do the things, unconscious meaning identified, to want to do things that are detrimental, right? So once we've seen the benefits, we are motivated to keep doing what produces those benefits. And then there's the realization that there are certain places, I mean, this is the non-self-hating part of the program, right, Jamie? If I look at it and go, this is where I want to, this feels like I've been making progress here, but here there is a way in which I want to do something more. The self-hating place would be what's wrong with you that you're weak in this area, right? But the reframing from the mentoring place is, oh, okay, I love you exactly as you are, and I'll help you do whatever you want to do. So this, let's look at this as an opportunity to generate more benefit.
Yeah, it's an opening up, whereas ego would want to use it as a way to discourage me, but the mentor is encouraging me, and you know, I can always look to just being present right now, and there's beauty in that, not worrying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is beauty in being right here, present, and aligned with what your heart wants.
Calling in and just acknowledging that every minute is an opportunity, and is encouraging. It makes me want to practice more.
So yes, being successful makes us want to practice more, which is why we want to turn to that which is encouraging, not that which is discouraging. Because discouraging sets us up for failure, but encouragement always sets us up to discover love. Right.
Right. Right. And I think along the way you can get sidetracked and give up on things, but I think the program, if you continue with it on a daily basis, particularly, it can't help but change your life.
Wonderfully stated. That's the secret. No matter what ego says or does, I'm going to not quit, which is why it's gunning for us to quit. All the time, right? We used to have a little prayer flag that says, show up and trust the magic, because if you show up, the magic will be there. It will.
If anybody else, if anybody else is considering calling in and has some mixed feelings about it, I would encourage them to try it.
Yes. Encourage, there it is. There is and it's how we help everyone else, right, Jamie? By sharing our process, we demonstrate that we're all experiencing the same resistance, and here's someone who has gone up against the resistance and seen how to transcend it. And to do that through encouragement allows us to be encouraging, to offer our practice for the benefit of everyone else. Such a powerful place.
Well, thank you very much. And gosh,
thank you, Jamie.
Go happy.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Jamie. And Ashwini, I appreciate that renewed focus on willingness that we've had this week. And yeah, to me, just incredibly valuable piece of my practice.
Yeah. So many examples of willingness on the show today.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
This is Mary Jane. I wasn't expecting that in Palo Alto.
Hi, Mary Jane.
Hey, Mary Jane.
Hi. I don't know what to talk about. I guess I'm just in the queue. I kind of got myself out of, I'm having to write something that's challenging for me. It's something I haven't really done before on this level. And I'm getting a little down in the slog of it. And just that, what you said about just show up and like you'll get help. So, because I felt like, I've been feeling kind of stuck, but anyway, so I feel a little better already just listening to the call.
Yes.
Well, I'm like,
redirect of attention, right? Just a simple redirect of attention from feeling stuck to I'm here, listening, open to assistance.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, kind of take it down a notch. I think whenever things get really hard, it's like it feels like there's a lot at stake, you know, kind of recognizing that's often the story behind it. So
That's what we're being made to believe, right? That's pressure.
Yeah.
Pressure to perform, pressure to produce, and it's all in the conversation. And so redirect from that conversation is relaxing. It really opens up the space for insight to drop in, right?
Yeah, and like just go with kind of the joy and the like the enjoyment of it rather than the performative, you know.
Yes. And we really do often have to step out of the process we're in order for the awareness to expand, right?
Okay, because because I went on a walk.
I
got to stop.
Exactly. Yes, we know, right? It's in, the intuition is telling us the channel is clogged here. Go unclog the channel first. And then we'll give you some information. We can't. It's not getting through.
So this is unclogging. There's still a little fear of like, I think it's, you know, when you really love something and you want to do well in it, like it's like, oh, this is what I want to devote myself to right now. And then, you know, but who's to say what is good and what isn't, right? Even if someone evaluates it externally.
That's exactly right. Because the only person at the end of the day, whatever anyone else says, it's that place of, did you do your best?
Mm.
Yes. Did you give it everything that you could possibly give it to the best of your knowledge? Yeah. Isn't that what the mentor would say, right?
Yeah.
That's what life would say. Because it has to be, right? It is what it was.
Yeah.
It's the perfection of what is, right? Because there's no comparison to what could have been.
Oh, I see.
Except in
conversation
in the head.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it's also not. It's also our experience, right, Mary Jane? That if you love something, that's where you're most vulnerable to an ego voice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, and it's also, I think there's a little bit of story because it's like historical research and writing, but around in support of contemporary things, but there's a little story like, this is just a practice and conditioning, you know, even though I find there is inherent value and love of what I'm doing. So like, mm-hmm. Oh, you should just be in the present. Don't like read any historical anything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you just have to ignore the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no way, I mean, you could have an argument with it on a content level and probably lose every single time.
Mm.
So why bother?
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's my life, okay? You can do it for your life. I'm going to do this for my life.
That's exactly right. And that there's such a spiritual context to that, right, Mary Jane? Because we could be doing anything. I mean, I think it was Jen who used to say, you get up in the morning, you do a bunch of stuff, and then you go to bed at night.
Yeah.
You do that every day.
I
right?
do. And, like, you know, why not do stuff we enjoy, you know, really enjoy, which is what
I'm
doing right now.
Or even better, why not enjoy whatever we do?
That's true. That's like, I'm on the edge of that. I'm still getting there. But, yeah. I am enjoying a lot more now.
Yes, because otherwise there's an opening for it to say, this is valuable, this is not valuable, this is something you like, this is not something you like. This should be, how can you know that this is more valuable than doing what somebody else is doing to save the world while you're digging around looking at historical research, right?
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
always vulnerable to the conversation. So don't listen to the conversation and then just enjoy whatever it is that you're doing. In fact, I think not listening to the conversation means we're enjoying it.
That's true. That's true. Like, I mean, like, I'm enjoying this moment, you know, on the radio show.
Yes.
So, and I'm glad I kind of just put myself in the queue, you know, unexpectedly. But I'm like, why not? So, It gets you out of identity.
That's exactly,
you know?
Right. There it is. You're turning to willingness, right? And now you're writing willingness, and it's up. It's not against the current. It's with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Mary Jane. Keep us posted. Hope the
writing
project is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Not well or bad or good, but is what it is.
Yeah.
And you enjoy yourself thoroughly.
Yes, for sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. And Ashwini, in the interest of time, I'm going to go straight to our next caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hi. What I'm looking at is, it's interesting that in the practice, we look at how karma circles around and comes back. Many times, and this process of karma that I'm experiencing most recently is how is it phrased? Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. And I'm into my second month of COVID, and I've tested negative for over a month, but I'm having very, very similar symptoms when I was positive with COVID. and I'm also done a big move, and I've transitioned to a new place and a new living experience. And I'm because I'm not physically, I don't know how to characterize it, maybe as strong as I was pre-COVID, or as in energetic and I feel really vulnerable to the transition.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's not as much equanimity. There's a lot more undulations with what's going on physically and emotionally. And just wanted to touch base with you on that.
Mm-hmm. And so, Todd, are you feeling what is the karma?
The karma is, I've gone through this with medical situations before, and recognizing that, you know, pain is inevitable. We're sentient beings.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
and we're gonna, that's just, we're in a physical body, and things are gonna occur. And often I'm able to redirect action and use the tools of practice to not get wrapped up in the conversation that causes the intense suffering. But it feels like
is that what you're finding, that you are, that you're not being as successful in redirecting the attention and using the tool of practice, so you're suffering?
I didn't catch all of that. I'm sorry.
So is that that's what I'm trying, that's sort of what I was trying to clarify, Todd. So the suffering is because you know that when there's something going on for you in your body, first of all, if something, you know, as a human incarnation, something will happen to your body eventually, and often does, and that can produce suffering, but it doesn't have to. And if it is producing suffering, there are ways you know how not to suffer.
Correct. Exactly.
And are you saying that it's harder for you to redirect the attention? Is that where the challenge feels? Where is the challenge for you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The challenge for me is I'm getting more caught up in the conversation, and the suffering seems to be more intense because there feels like with my life circumstances, there's more moving parts, and
so it's much more complex.
Thank you.
More complex, right?
Beautiful.
Right?
I couldn't summarize it better. It's more, it's more complex.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more occasions, a lot more content for the conversation to use to say what's wrong or what's not enough.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, Todd, what about just saying, yeah, that is the case?
Well, that is, internally, that is kind of the mentor's feedback. And externally, I've got a bit of support here, new support. And that's kind of the encouragement response I'm getting from externals is, you've gone through a lot. It's going to be up and down. And I empathize and sympathize with you. And then mentors the same way. It's like, wow, these last 2 months have been a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm. Two things about that, right, Todd? I think last time you were on Open Air talking to Sherry, the guidance was you want to have those earbuds on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reassuring this human being that everything's okay. You're okay. Let's just take it one step at a time. It is challenging. Just the constant reinforcement that you have somebody on your side who loves you unconditionally, who understands the enormity of what it is that you're going through, and will always be there for you.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
To replace any possibility of a conversation that is self-hating, or leading you to identification, to absolutely replace that.
Yes, exactly.
Because there's no other way that we can go up against it, because the circumstances are challenging, and when we are feeling vulnerable, that system is going to escalate.
It is. It's exactly like as Sherry said, or you said a thousand times. It is a nasty, hideous system that may escalate or attack us when we're most vulnerable, and that's what I've noticed recently.
When you're down, it's going to get vicious, right?
It's going to get vicious. Mm-hmm.
And here's this place. I mean, that may feel challenging to accept, but may also be true, right? The fact is, you are practicing, I project. You are recording and listening. You are redirecting your attention. You are taking every opportunity to be in touch with practice.
Yes.
And this is an interesting place of exploration, right, Todd? Because we're not practicing to feel to necessary. So it allows us to explore
whether we're practicing to end suffering or practicing to feel better.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right?
That's a great distinction. If we have any shred of, I want to not listen
to the conversation, then every moment I'm here, I'm not listening to the conversation.
Yeah.
But then if I'm entertaining a review as to whether or not somehow I'm feeling different,
yeah,
then we can see how there's a conditional element to it.
Right. Yeah, what just came to me when you said that is, Sherry's often said, what we're doing to see how we're feeling is we're referencing conditioned mind, which is never going to lead anywhere good.
That's right.
Yeah,
so you could be completely fine and rid
yeah.
whatever it is that you're going through. I mean,
right.
no energy, not
yeah.
feeling the joy you might actually have before felt. I mean, and all of that, if I'm
mm-hmm.
here, I only know that I'm not as joyful, not as physically active,
yeah.
not as well as I was doing if I'm entertaining
right.
a conversation that's comparing now to what was.
Oh, great point. Thank you for that. Yeah, I hadn't seen it that clearly, but it is a huge comparison of before and after, like before
mm-hmm.
COVID and before the move. That was a life circumstance. Post-COVID, post-move, that's a life circumstance. And that comparative nature of it is just,
mm-hmm.
it's brutal because it's night and day. The two circumstances are so different.
Yeah, and it's such a fine line between comparison, which is the conversation, and acceptance.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel tired. Yes, there's
yeah.
low energy.
Yes.
So I want to be with this low energy.
Not
yes. what's wrong with you, Todd, that you don't feel the way that you felt, and what's wrong with you, Todd, because you
mm-hmm.
recorded and listened and you're still feeling really, really bad, or whatever it says to you.
Right. Well, it does say that. Excuse
yeah.
me. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, just as
rather
you,
than, Todd, you're not feeling well? I'm really sorry to hear that,
mm-hmm.
right? What can we do to take care of you right now?
Yeah, thank you.
Which is the
yeah.
conversation you want to be in.
Yes, yeah, that's what Sherry's guidance was last time we spoke
mm-hmm.
on open air, was
yeah.
just, yeah, nonstop of that relationship with the mentor, just continue to deepen it and just never leave the earbuds, never leave
and,
presence.
Yes, and acknowledge and accept how it is for the human incarnation. It is
yeah.
difficult.
Acknowledge and accept.
You are recovering.
Yeah.
You don't feel strong. Great. But not strong
no.
in comparison about how you should be and therefore what's wrong with you as a consequence, but just simply
right.
acknowledge this is how it is.
yeah.
This
yeah.
is what is now. So how are we going to work with now with the greatest level of love that we
mm-hmm.
can bring to it?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Todd. Take care
okay.
and keep us posted, okay?
I will do. Thanks, Ashwini. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for joining us. And Ashwini, that really reminds me of the compassion that is just essential to
mm-hmm.
practice all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and well, I believe that is the top of the hour, or a little after it, Michael. And I guess Jen wants us to say that there's another call coming up with Teresa this
yes.
Saturday, and so to join us for that final call.
Yes, 10 a.m. Pacific time this Saturday, last call with Teresa. It's going to be fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everyone, and go happy.
Go happy.